Well, hi, Katie. It's been forever.
I know. It's happy Oscar week. More importantly, the highest, holiest day.
Coming up real, real fast. So this morning, we have Katie, Nick, and myself, Nathaniel, and Charlie.
And Charlie.
Charlie is sitting in for Joe.
Yeah, Charlie has the same film opinions as Joe.
He sounds very excited to talk about the Oscars, more so than usual.
What did he think of the makeup in Suicide Squad?
You know, neither of us has seen Suicide Squad, and we might keep it that way, actually.
What if he's seen it and he hasn't told you?
He, like, rented it on our iTunes account.
Yeah.
I have one more acting nominee movie to see, and I think I've set on all the screenplays, and I think I'm just gonna leave my, finish it out theory there. Like, I don't think A Man Called Ove and I are gonna really cross paths. And Nick, I saw that you watched it
last night, and I think you don't need to, although it could totally win for all the reasons that you don't need to watch it.
Yeah, I know. Between the three of us, I'm sure we've seen everything.
Yes. Except for, I'm curious now, what is the acting nominee you missed, Katie?
Oh, L. I still haven't seen L.
Oh,
that's
okay.
I caught Captain Fantastic 2 nights ago, finally, and L is the last one. I should be able to catch it this week.
Yeah.
Charlie, what did you think of L? I mean, that one seems especially 7-month-old friendly.
Especially child friendly. Yeah, just like all the doc shorts about genocide.
I think we have never discussed the animated features. So I'm curious what you guys think of that category.
Oh, this is a bad year for me in the animated features. Who's seen My Life as a Zucchini? Is it? I'm very curious about it based on the title.
Oh, I've seen it. I've seen it, yeah. It's cool. It's written by the woman who wrote Girlhood, who wrote and directed Girlhood.
Oh.
Who I should have an interview up in the next couple days from. She was really interesting to talk to. And it's very unlike anything that would ever be made in the States. It's very European. Because it's incredibly frank about, you know, broken childhoods and orphans and foster homes and things. And it starts with a huge tragedy. I was like, wow, American parents are going to freak if they take their kids to this. But I'm glad that other countries realize that animation is a medium and not a family adventure comedy genre. Yeah.
But yet, we think Zootopia is going to win anyway.
Yeah, I mean, Zootopia is great, though. Let's say that.
Yeah, I like Zootopia a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love Moana, too, so much.
Yeah, I really loved Moana, which it doesn't seem to be getting the, like, traction of affection that it deserves. Charlie
Thank you,
agrees.
Charlie.
Which was Charlie's favorite character? Was it Hey Hey?
Oh, yeah. That was my favorite character, too, I think. That chicken made me laugh a lot.
You know, I didn't understand the point of having the pig. I think one animated sidekick is enough.
Well, because the pig kind of disappears. Like, why didn't the pig get to come on the boat?
Right. It reminded me a little bit of Pocahontas, like, hedging their bets. Okay, we're going to have this... Was it a bird and a raccoon?
Hey's very expressive, okay?
Yeah.
Those are good American jobs, inventing those sidekicks. So, let's not be eliminating them.
Let's talk the screenplay categories very quickly. We should start attacking each category. What I'm most interested in is who you would vote for, because I think the Will wins this year are apart from like four categories are kind of obvious.
I think La La Land versus Manchester is going to be an intriguing battle in original screenplay.
Which is also amazing to me, because those are the two that I would be able to eliminate as I thought about how I'm possibly going to vote. I know I would wind up at 20th Century Women.
Yeah, I mean, I would do 20th Century Women and The Lobster probably top two, but Manchester would be an easy third for me. I'm weirdly cold on Hell or High Water.
Oh, I got confused. Hell or High Water would be out for me too.
Okay, all right. See, Nick, we're just really on the same page today.
Yeah, man, we could take shifts.
Well, I wish we had more diversity in thought, but I would vote 20th Century Women, too, with very fond affection for The Lobster.
Can we just like use this moment to express our group outrage that this is the sole nomination for 20th Century Women?
You've missed the past couple times.
You guys, I'll do all the rending of garments without me.
We did, yes. But
it can't be repeated often enough, I'll say that.
Well, let me chime in and agree with everything you guys have been saying without me. Annette Bening will win an Oscar, I guess, in our dreams.
Or an honorary when she's 90, perhaps.
Well, now she's doing that Ryan Murphy Katrina series, so she's got the Emmy sewn up.
I say she does a road movie with Beyonce that's also a biopic full of original songs, and they can win Album of the Year and Best Actress.
And justice will finally be served.
I would think.
Well, I just looked it up. She doesn't have an Emmy yet either, so that's at least one, you know, area where we can get it together.
Yeah. Oh, she only has the Tony of the Showbiz Awards.
A Golden Globe. Oh, two Golden Globes.
Well, of the EGOT, she only has the real ones. Tony. Yeah.
I don't think she has a Tony, does she?
She does.
Yeah. Wasn't she just nominated?
No, she has one.
Okay.
I think.
No, wait. For Coastal Disturbances?
Okay, now I'm, like, confused that I'm giving false information.
Wikipedia says she was nominated for...
Oh, sorry, just nominated. Okay, so she has none.
Oh my god.
This is tragic. It's tragic.
I just want to mark that it took some real gumption for me to come up at you about Annette Bening knowledge. I was scared and vulnerable, and I didn't like doing it.
So, adapted screenplay.
Moonlight's an easy choice for me in this.
Yeah, I'd probably vote for Moonlight, too, even though I do think that the direction makes that script even more amazing, and having just rewatched Arrival yesterday, I feel like I might... There's something about Arrival that still just doesn't totally click for me, but the script is so strong that I would pause for a second, but yeah, I'd go Moonlight.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing about Arrival. You know, I've seen both of them a couple, or two or three times now, and Moonlight is just so such a good movie. But I'm not... I personally don't think the screenplay is its strongest element. I think it's firing on so many cylinders that it's easy to think it is just the best of everything, but I find that's almost never true of any movie. I would be torn between Arrival and Moonlight in this category.
I think for Lion, which is a movie I think we've all expressed affection for, I would say the same thing that Nick said about Moonlight, that like the direction is really what puts that movie over the top. Mm-hmm. Like, Rooney Mara's character existing in All in Lion suggests to you that there's a script that could use some work.
I will say, watching... I just watched it again because, you guys won't have seen this yet, but the SmackDown just went up. So I just watched all of the supporting actress nominees again. And I was so much more impressed with, like, the craft of Lion this time through. Because I had seen it... This is the third time I had seen it, and, like, the other two times I was just so caught up in the story and the performances of Nicole and Sonny and stuff. But this time I was just noticing how really much work Greg Fraser's doing as the cinematographer.
Is this our segue to cinematography?
No, not necessarily, but I just, it could be, but I think, Nick, you had said, like, he's had to think about, like, how to make it compelling that someone's constantly looking at a computer, and that's no small feat, and you almost don't notice that there's so much of that, but there really is a lot of it.
Oh, I noticed.
That would be a fun surprise win in this category, which I assume is going to La La Land.
Yeah, I mean, who would you guys vote for in cinematography?
Moonlight.
Yeah, it's painful to vote against Bradford Young, who I am also rooting for, but I feel like Moonlight really takes it here.
I think Bradford Young, for all the affection we've showered on him over the years on the podcast, I think he could take this loss with stride.
Well, getting the nomination was a good accomplishment to start with.
Yeah. I would also vote Moonlight in this category. But I do think Arrival's very undervalued in terms of its cinematography.
Yeah. I mean, it's not as flashy as a lot of the work that Bradford Young has done before. Like, it's not as grabby as, like, Eighth and Body Saints, but it does so much to make that movie special.
I did feel yesterday that I had undervalued his work in that when I watched it again.
Yeah. Okay, so costume design. Who would we vote for?
I have seen incredible... Well, I haven't seen Allied or Fantastic Beasts.
Me neither.
Wow.
You guys are just
like, don't...
not...
I know.
Not completists this year like usual.
I definitely am not usually a completist. And something like Fantastic Beasts I would like to catch at some point and is interesting to me. But something like Allied that like everyone kind of shrugged at and then got one weird costume design nomination. I don't know. I'm not going to feel bad for not catching that one.
Well, here we finally disagree, because I felt bad not being there for Marion, who I keep hearing is really good in it, and I would love to see her in some nice dresses.
That's true.
Whereas, I'm like, does J.K. Rowling need any more money from...
No, she certainly does not.
I stopped Harry Potter after number 5 when I realized I can't remember what's happened to any of these kids, and they could live or die, and I wouldn't care. So, yeah.
I know, I had the same feelings about the Harry Potter movies.
Whereas I am planning a trip to Harry Potter World as soon as Charlie is old enough to reasonably appreciate it. And not just be for me, so.
The more prevalent question is, did Colleen Atwood really need a 12th nomination? That answer would be no.
No, even Colleen Atwood would probably say she didn't need it.
I would vote for, shockingly, La La Land, but I would. I already wrote my big essay on why I thought the costumes were brilliant on this, so I'm done with it.
I apologize that I have not yet read that piece, but did that extend beyond the two leads?
No, but nothing does in that movie.
So, right.
So,
I think Matthew Ng wrote something about, like, how everybody who's not them just looks like straight-up Banana Republic. Or Gap, or something, and that it was another area where he felt like he sensed a real drop-off in the movie's attentions.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, because in the piece, which I do hope you'll read, I do talk about the opening scene a little bit. In terms of, like, color choices and things, but I just think, like, it's so hard for people to really give props to contemporary work and costumes. And I just really get frustrated when people say things like that. Like, oh, costume design nominee to The Gap. I was like, it's a lot more complicated than that. And there's so much careful attention to Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling that I really think the costumes are special in that movie.
Yeah.
I do think that if La La Land wins, I will celebrate it as a contemporary movie that wins here, because as we've discussed plenty, that doesn't happen very often. And there is kind of a nice, like, contemporary with a vibe of retro in La La Land.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, I just want to fight for Jackie here, the movie that I adore that totally fell apart in the Oscar race. I mean, there's a whole sequence where she just tries on her dresses. Like,
yes.
Come on, it's like made for a costume win.
Well, speaking of, like, the costumes being the story, just if you, like, guys ever sit through Allied, you will understand that nomination. There's so much costume stuff in that movie. Complete with a scene where Marianne Cotillard opens a wardrobe to show Brad Pitt all of his, like, costume choices and to explain to him that he's a really snappy dresser, you know, because they're because they're acting out, you know, being a married couple. So they have this whole backstory that they're learning together.
I was hoping it was in recognition of them not wearing that many costumes. That's disappointing.
Well, that too. Even the underwear choices are smart, I think. It's really beautiful costumes in that movie. And it is true that Marion Cotillard is really good in it, and it's sad that people don't... It does... The movie kind of falls apart, but the first hour I thought was really good.
Yeah, that is what I've heard elsewhere as well.
Production design. Oh, actually, I'm sorry, let's stop for a moment. The categories that do seem up for grabs, who do we should think who we're going to... We should discuss who's going to win. Who do you think is going to win costumes?
La La Land.
Yeah,
Really?
I really feel like a La La Land sweep is coming.
I kind of think Jackie.
Do you think enough people even remember this movie?
I just think Jackie's wardrobe in general is so uber famous that it could even get votes for people who didn't like the movie. Just thinking about, you know, like the most famous first lady dresser of all time, you know?
Yeah.
I guess I think if it's not La La Land, I can see it going to Florence Foster Jenkins just on the Duchess Marie Antoinette theory of even if they didn't care about the movie.
The most costumes?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the trick with the predicting La La Land sweep is it does feel like a sweep could happen, not just because people love it so much, but because in each of the categories where it could lose, what are they really going to coalesce behind any one particular picture?
Exactly. Like, I would think it would be vulnerable here if I had any sense of what would overtake it, but I think there are too many doofuses like me from last week who thought that Jackie was mostly just recreating existing costumes. Maybe everybody in Ampus is smarter than me. That's totally possible. Hasn't always been my experience.
It doesn't seem to be true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so production design.
So I haven't seen Fantastic Beasts or Passengers.
Yeah, I want to hear about Passengers in this category. Is it the pool thing? Is that what did it?
Well, you guys should read... I know I keep plugging the blog, but I don't know if you guys read Daniel Walber's column or if you have read it, The Furniture. It's brilliant every week.
He's a genius. I just don't read it when I haven't seen the movie.
Like, not everything about the ship makes sense, but there is a lot of like design, period, in the whole movie. Like, because you spend the entire movie on this one spaceship, so... and you see the restaurants and pools and all these like very, very elaborate sets.
Listen, Hail Caesar's got a lot of sets on it, and it's great, so give it to Hail Caesar.
Easily my choice of the three I've seen.
I would vote La La Land, or I mean Arrival here. Sorry. La La Land was just, I don't know why that popped out. I would vote Arrival in a heartbeat in this category.
For the spaceship?
Yeah, I thought the minimalism of it was really brave, and it also offset... like the sort of design choices of the language being so circular that the interiors are so minimalist and like flat and square and rectangle. Like I mm-hmm. thought there was so many like things that were coalescing perfectly for like a thesis statement, but also not just design elements to be design elements. And I was just really wowed by how Arrival looked.
Yeah, I would be happy with an Arrival win, too. And, I think La La Land's got a lot of good... They built Griffith Observatory to do that whole floating in space scene. Like, there's some impressive production design in there, too.
But I'm also tired of Harry Potter getting, you know, a default nomination for this category. I feel eventually there's going to be so many franchises that aren't they going to have split the awards like they used to with black and white and color, like franchise versus non-franchise?
Yeah. I said by the time we get to Moonlight 4, we're all going to be so sick of it.
Charlie is like the loudest he's ever been. I love it.
He's on the floor throwing some stuff around.
He's doing his own production design. He's rearranging your furniture.
He's rearranging all of his toys on the floor. It's a sight.
How about film editing?
I'm so bored. Moonlight.
Yeah, I would have to vote Moonlight here. Even though I think Arrival is very well edited for what it's trying to do.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Moonlight is just... The editing is incredible in Moonlight.
And it kind of feels like that's where the movie probably, as we know it, really came together. I think there are so many parts of Arrival that are so ingeniously edited, but it's still really hard for me to stomach the montage that drops in the middle of where all the language learning has already happened.
And, yeah.
I was watching the special features on the Blu-ray yesterday to get ready for this. My film group, where we have our Oscar party every year, and I explain these categories. And they're really amazing. They have a sort of separate featurette for most of the craft categories. And the amount of thought that went into all of them is really great. But that sort of Renner-narrated documentary thing was a sort of editing room fix for what would have been longer dialogue scenes. And I get why they're proud of having thought of it, if they're just worried about length, but it is what I thought the movie was about, and it seems like a pretty big misstep to me. So I would have trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I want to give due credit to La La Land, a movie I've been hard on, just because editing musical numbers is not easy, and a lot, like, for what I think are the movie's flaws, and even the musical numbers' flaws, I think they have a good pace to them, and they move.
And the Dream Ballet and all that, I mean, that's a
That's
a tricky thing to drop into the very end of a movie and have it be like a whole mini act. That moves beautifully too. Okay, how about visual effects?
I would be a pretty easy Kubo vote here.
You know, my I understand why, and I would be overjoyed if Kubo won, just because it would be a cool thing to have happen. But I guess I don't completely understand visual effects within animated features.
I didn't either, so I did what anybody should do and emailed Tim Brayton and was like, can you please explain this to me? And he said that anything in an animated film that looks like if it were a live-action film it would require visual effects also requires visual effects in animation. Like, if it can't just be you sort of, you know, drawing the frames, if that's the kind of animation it is, or filming the stop motion, if that's the kind of animation it is. Like, everything that looks like an effects set piece in Kubo, like all that storytelling with all the origami, requires a whole separate team of people doing something else than what the rest of the movie is doing.
Interesting.
Or like Moana, when the volcano attacks everybody near the end, that would be a lot of effects work.
Oh, I love Moana, you guys. It does not get enough credit. That sequence at the end of Moana, is it a reprise of a song, just a piece of it, or is it just a short?
You know who
song?
You are.
Yeah.
Thing?
Song that moved me so much. You know, a lot of animated movies tend to end with a huge like action set piece, and that starts as an action set piece, but then it abandons it in such a like a beautiful way. Because she's winning by this sort of like spiritual like emotional plea. That was an amazing scene to me. Makeup and hairstyling. We talked about this last week. And
Charlie is fighting for Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a very strange category, and also like I didn't, other than Harley Quinn, which you know is. I just didn't understand what was fun or interesting about the makeup in Suicide Squad.
Didn't someone get turned into a crocodile?
Yes, I mean there are makeup things. There are a lot. It's definitely a most makeup. There's a crocodile man. There's a guy who's covered in tattoos. The original score. I'm curious who you guys would vote for here because there's good ones nominated.
Oh yeah. I again, like a broken record, stand by Jackie. I love the score for Jackie, and I think
which
Michael
sounds
Lee...
like a broken record
in a good way. I actually think like Michael Levy is such an Mika Levy. I have no idea how you say her name, but is a really exciting presence, and she's like younger than me, which is crazy. But like Moonlight is also an amazing score. Like those are two fantastic choices to me.
I like all four of the ones I've heard. I haven't listened to the Passenger score.
I would vote for Jackie as well, even though I think all four of the other first-time nominees... I mean, all the first-time nominees in this category are amazing, I think.
I think I would still vote for Moonlight here, but I think they're all good.
Original song.
I'm bummed about Lin-Manuel Miranda not likely to win his Oscar. I think How Far I'll Go is the best song in this category.
I really love it, too, and I listen to it all the time. And it wasn't until I listened to it more that I realized how much kind of repetition is in it, which I could imagine, like, one reaction to it that would find that a little, like, padded or something in the lyrics. But I think it's so great for what the song's about, and it's so amazing for the movie. I think I would vote for it, too, even though we don't even have to get into the Sing Street catastrophe.
Injustice. Catastrophe. They could have given all five nominations to Sing Street.
Yes, they could have. I do like the Justin Timberlake song from Trolls. I wouldn't give it an Oscar, but I do like it.
Yeah, I would vote for Audition, I think. I'm the La La Land supporter in this podcast.
But which of the, so do you think Audition or City of Stars is going to win? I think
City of Stars is going to win. City of Stars.
So that's the one that they're, because they really kind of have to pick one to campaign, right?
I feel like that song has had the biggest presence of any of the nominees, like even more so than Justin Timberlake's, even though it's a hit, you know? I just feel like I've been hearing it all year, you know?
But City of Stars is such a relatively small song. That's kind of what confuses me about it.
But
I agree.
But it plays, it's fairly, whoa.
Yeah, Charlie's back up here. Hey, guys.
I was, like, detecting if he was trying to sing along to any of the songs.
He's saying, this is his way of singing City of Stars.
What if he's singing the James Foley song and none of us know that?
I listened to it the other day. It's nice.
Yeah.
Just remember, last year, all the original song nominees were awful. Like, all of them were bad. So...
Oh my god, remember what happened last year. Oh my god.
Sam Smith won an Oscar for a truly terrible song.
Oh my god, you guys.
And the Lady Gaga song that we all kind of got behind was also bad.
Terrible.
Yeah, it was a real bad year. So just consider the wealth we have here.
Yeah, it's... Yeah.
Oh my god.
I know.
It's coming flooding back to you.
It's difficult
it's just
to...
landing again, yeah. Oh.
I'm the outlier, and I'm a huge fan of the song From Youth. I love that composer. But yeah, it was a tough year for that category last year. So thanks for bringing that up, Katie, and bringing us all down.
I just want us to remember that we are presented with a wealth. We have a genuine hit song. We have two songs from a real musical. We have a song by a Tony winner, and then Sting. It's great.
Yeah, it is. The musical performances will actually be fun to watch, or potentially fun to watch.
The fact that Emma and Ryan aren't performing, though, is nonsense.
They're not?
No.
No.
John Legend's doing both songs.
Really?
Yeah.
I know.
I mean...
Like, I feel like if the Academy had known that, they wouldn't have nominated both songs.
Okay, so sound and sound editing. Who do we think's gonna win? Do we think La La Land's really taking both? Because I think we could see a surprise here.
I think Hacksaw Ridge stands a pretty good shot.
I think maybe Arrival for sound editing.
That would be cool.
I mean, if people... I know that people don't vote the way we want them to or think they do, but if people are sitting at home being like, can't Arrival have something?
Yeah, and the fact that Arrival invented, like, the entire sound of those aliens. Like, there are so many sounds in there that just, like...
Yeah.
Have to come from your imagination. It's really impressive.
Yeah, I think Arrival's a really, really easy choice in that category, but I wonder if they'll take it. Because they do like war movies. And obviously, Hacksaw Ridge has a lot of fans. We don't know where they are, who they are, or why, but it has a lot of fans. Right, really quickly, I think we're all, like, pick and director, I think we're all Moonlight people, right?
Yep.
I mean, I love Manchester by the Sea. I don't think I would give it to Kenneth Lonergan for director over Barry Jenkins, but I do... I don't know. I love Manchester by the Sea.
So you would vote for that for picture, but not director?
Maybe? I don't know. That's really... I truly have not given thought to what my personal best picture pick would be, which is insane. I think I'd be really torn between the two and maybe lean toward Moonlight. Or maybe Split. Like, yeah, I don't know. Somewhere in there.
Well, Katie, we're going to excuse your non-completism this year because you do have a 7-month-old. But next year, you better see everything, and you better have an opinion on everything.
I'm seeing as much as I have. You guys have no idea how much effort it took.
Of course, we have an idea. We're men. We naturally understand things.
So really quickly, we've discussed the acting categories a whole bunch, but do we think Denzel or Casey is winning, and who would we vote for?
I'm leaning toward thinking Denzel's going to win. I don't know. He's so well-liked, and Casey is not that likable. I think that makes a huge difference, but I think Casey would have my vote.
I would vote for Denzel, but since there's zero stakes here, I'm just going to say I think Ryan is going to win.
Wow.
I think Casey's not that easy to like. I think Denzel has 2 Oscars already, and everybody thinks Ryan Gosling should have an Oscar, and they love this movie. I understand that I'm probably wrong, but...
But if you're right, you heard it here first, everyone. Nick going out on a limb and predicting Ryan Gosling. So I guess that means you do think it's going to win 11 Oscars.
I think it's going to be way up there. There are just so many categories where if it didn't have the kind of... I don't want to say weak competition, but no obvious competitors. We might be talking different, but it has a lot of easy paths. I don't know.
Yeah.
If Ryan Gosling wins Best Actor, that would mean excellent traffic for VanityFair.com, so I will support you in this campaign, Nick.
Okay. I would probably vote Denzel myself. I kind of think Casey's still winning, though. Because I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Dev Patel's going to win Supporting Actor.
Whoa! That would be crazy. Well, show your work. What's your evidence?
I think it's been almost 2 decades when no, like, real-life person character has won. And if he loses, we will have all... written characters for the first time in like 20 years, I think, something like that.
Wow.
And Lion just seems to be surging at the right moment. I mean, I could totally be wrong. I'm just feeling like Lion's gonna surprise somewhere, and that seems as good a place as any.
But how cool would it be if Denzel Washington, Mahershala, and Viola all won, and then you have Emma Stone as the one white face in there?
Well, Dev Patel's not white.
Dev Patel's not white, that's true. But he's not American. Come on. Support our homegrown talent. America first.
I know it's silly not to predict Mahershala, but I'm going to predict Dev.
It's not silly, it's just crushing. Those are different,
I keep having this incredibly unlikely fear that Michael Shannon somehow wins for Nocturnal Animals, like one of his worst performances.
Oh, I thought he was great in that, but the movie's horrible.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's good in it, but like, it's not, I don't know, it's hard to have a great performance in a vacuum.
Well, that's why he's such a good actor, though.
That's true. Well, someone on Twitter said he's been nominated for his 2 worst performances, Revolutionary Road and Nocturnal Animals, which, I mean, I liked Revolutionary Road at the time, I haven't revisited it, but it might be true.
Well, they're both, like, definitely big performances.
May I act for you?
But there's also General Zod out there, so we can't, go too crazy.
Oh, General Zod, I'm sorry, there's only 1 Terran stamp. So, supporting actress... I would not vote for Viola Davis. I think everybody knows that just because I'm against leads being nominated and supporting. I will very much applaud her win. I think she's just a genius actor. But I would vote for Nicole Kidman.
I truly don't feel that this is a slam dunk category fraud case. And Mary Alice, when she originated the role, won for the supporting award, even though people only talk about Viola winning for lead. And I do think it's on that line. So I also think it's just, by leaps and bounds, the most strong performance in the game. So I'd go for it.
Oh boy, Charlie's got a lot of strong opinions about Viola. I would probably also happily vote for Viola. I love Michelle Williams. I'm really ready for her to get her Oscar. I think she's very good in Manchester, but it's not anything beyond what I've seen her capable of before.
Mm-hmm.
And Viola Davis is she's tremendous. And I watched How to Get Away with Murder for so long and watched her be amazing with insane material. Mm-hmm. That watching
you were
Fences,
saying something about it's hard to be great in a vacuum.
Exactly. And like the first season of that show was solid enough, and then she won her Emmy, and then now the show is just somehow still on. So watching Fences, I was like, oh, this is what happens when she has like real words to say. It was such a relief.
I mean, the August Wilson is such a genius, and I just watched Fences again yesterday, actually. And it's like the language is just so beautiful, and it's so thrilling to hear both Denzel and Viola tear into it, you know. I just have to stick by my standards, and also in my world, Viola already has an Oscar, so I don't feel
you mean she didn't lose to Meryl Streep in the movie I still haven't seen, The Iron Lady?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Still going strong. Never going to see The Iron Lady.
Everybody's sticking to standards of various kinds.
Have you guys talked about this already, and I'm just behind, that Octavia Spencer for Hidden Figures instead of Janelle Monáe is kind of mystifying? I mean, I understand it because she's the winner in this category, but Janelle Monáe is so good in Hidden Figures.
I have to say, I feel like I'm turning into a broken record, which always happens this time of year when we've just been able to discuss things for so long, but I think Janelle Monáe is really terrific in both of her movies this year, and I just am so excited to see what she does next, but I don't quite understand everybody wanting her to be nominated for things. Like, I think she's really good in both movies, but not nomination worthy. I just think it just shows, like, such tremendous potential.
I just feel like if you're going to choose someone from Hidden Figures to give a supporting nod to, I would choose Janelle Monáe.
I think she was a couple of scenes away from me being able to get there. Like, the character seems a little dropped in some way. Like, a lot of her big scenes are really early in her arc.
Yeah.
And I would have liked to just see the movie stick with her a little bit more. But yeah, I agree with both of you, but I'm mostly with Nathaniel, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised to hear that some people think she's actually the best actor in Moonlight, and I was like, oh. Okay.
Oh, wait, in Moonlight? Whoa.
Yeah, some people...
That's a bold claim.
Yeah.
In Hidden Figures, I think you could maybe make the case. I feel like Taraji is... I love her moments that ring true to me, but not that, you know, I think Hidden Figures in general has some weaknesses that are easy to overlook because the cast is so fun.
Yeah.
But in Moonlight, yeah, there's a lot of good going on.
Can I ask? We're probably over time, but
we are.
I'm wondering what's going to win. I don't know that Ote is an obvious winner of documentary feature, especially since I Am Not Your Negro is hauling in money right now.
Yeah, I Am Not Your Negro. Like they did a smart opening gambit there, and that's actually the only doc I haven't seen, so I got to catch that too.
That is calling my name. The screener is right here, and I keep meaning to watch it.
Have you seen it, Nick?
Yeah, it's good. I would vote for Fire at Sea here, but it's the other one that's close. And I like them all. I think they're all pretty good.
So you slept through all 8 hours of OJ?
I did.
Yeah, I watched OJ kind of in its TV form, where I watched it in episodes kind of over the course of a long period of time, but I was blown away by it. I think that would have my vote. And I am mourning Wiener, which I wish had found some way to get in here.
I am mourning Wiener will be your all-time most famous quote.
Although Wiener now reads like such a nightmare because you just watched all the pieces of the 2016 election being sewn there, so I'm not sure I could watch it again.
I actually think that's might be why it wasn't nominated.
Yeah, that everyone's just like, please, this guy again. Get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't
know. But you think OJ's winning?
I think OJ's winning just because, you know, it just has been sweeping, you know, precursors, and because it has the unfair advantage of being a miniseries that has a lot of time to delve into its topic. And feel like a huge achievement, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where's the best editing nomination for that?
And you know, some people actually at the last minute were saying it was going to get a best picture nomination. So clearly, The people who were speaking to the Academy Daily heard lots of like excitement about that movie.
All right, I think Charlie has reached his limitation of Oscar talk.
Okay.
He's got to catch L before he can participate this
Oh
conversation.
yeah, and so we saved actress for last. That's the last category we haven't discussed.
Oh yeah.
Although we've discussed it a million times. I would vote for Isabelle Huppert without even having to think twice.
As would anyone, Katie.
Yikes. Should I just be like, no, I totally saw L. My vote goes to Ruth Negga. I love Natalie Portman and Jackie, but I love Ruth Negga and Loving, and I think that movie, I mean, it's also kind of like a proxy vote where I love that movie and I wish it had gotten more attention. But I thought she was amazing and Loving, doing so much with so little. Not like the part wasn't big, but like it's a minutely performed role that she really nails.
Best phone acting in years.
Oh my God, her phone acting is incredible.
Although Charlie's is pretty good too.
I know. Let's just hit Skype acting, please.
Although when Charlie in Charlie's case it's more like most phone acting.
Yeah, he's really kind of overselling it here.
He's been through a journey. There have been phases in this performance.
Okay, so our sign-off question, I know we're way over time. Which Best Picture do you think would work best as a musical? Other than La La Land, of course,
Ooh.
which already is a musical.
I have actually started raising finances for a musical called Hacksaw with an exclamation point. And the main character just doesn't want to sing, even though everyone around him is tap dancing constantly and belting.
Because
Think Arrival could be really great as a musical. It's all about language, it's all about expressing feelings and think you can do fun stuff with the timeline with music. Some themes repeating themselves. I'd be into that.
Oh, I love that idea. It never would have occurred to me. I'm seeing both of those musicals if they come to Broadway.
If hell.
I think Hidden Figures would be a great musical comedy.
I mean,
Oh, totally.
depending on how the box office goes, like that could Scott Rudin may already be trying to make that happen.
All right. He's like, it's time for L. It's time for L. It's time for L. Happy Oscar watching next weekend.
Maybe Charlie can get a job as the person when your speech is too long,
Oh
who
yeah.
lets you know your time is up.
He can be the orchestra playing you off. That is what he has done.